don't have to wait until we get to heaven to have this unity and this closeness with God. What we have to look forward to in heaven, we can have right now on earth.
And now for Jesus, our greatest treasure.
Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother and sister, you need the Word. And tonight I'm going to be speaking from the title of Jesus, our greatest treasure. So in the book of Hebrews, we constantly see that Jesus is the better blank, right? You fill in the blank. He's the better Moses. He's the better Melchizedek. He's the better priest. He gives us the better rest. He is the better promise. He gives us the better covenant, and he makes the better sacrifice. And so today we're going to be looking at another way that he is better. In Hebrews chapter 11, we come across this very familiar text to many of us, where it's constantly called the Hall of Faith. We read about people like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Rahab, and the list goes on and on and on of all these people who had faith. And because of their faith, they were counted as righteous before the Lord. And because of their faith, they were able to receive a promise from God. But what is interesting is that in that chapter of all these people who had so much faith, not everybody listed received the promise that they were believing God for. They did not all get the promise that they had the faith for. At the end of chapter 11, in verse 39, it says, "These were all commended for their faith," talking about that whole list of people. And it says, "Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." Now, this verse says that none of them received what had been promised. Yet we know that God is faithful and God is a promise keeper, so how is that possible? And it's possible because God had something better. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 through 28, it talks about us receiving this kingdom that is unshakable, which is a better kingdom than the one that we currently have, because who knows that our current world can be shaken, and it currently does shake. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14, it talks about the fact that we do not have an enduring city here. So we are to seek the city that is to come, because that city will be enduring. That is a better city that will last forever. So if our current world is not enduring and our current world can be shaken, where do we look to find this better kingdom? Like, what is this better promise and this better treasure that we look forward to? In John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house, which has many rooms. And in Revelation chapter 21, it says that there will be a new city, a better city that has no more tears, no more grief, no more pain. And this better kingdom, this better world, this better city, it sounds amazing because it will endure. It will not be shaken. There will be many rooms. There will be no pain, no grief, no sorrow. Yet, that is not the reason that we look forward to this place. The reason is found in Revelation 21, verse 3. It says that in this new city, God will be with them. They will be his people, and he will be their God. In Hebrews 11, verse 16, it says that God is not ashamed to be called their God. And this is where we find the best part of this new city. It's not in the fact that we're not having pain anymore, we're not having tears anymore. The best part is that God will be with us, and he delights to dwell with us, and we will be able to dwell with him in perfect union for all of eternity. It is his great joy to be with us, and his presence truly is the best part of this new city. That is why it will be so amazing, because we will get to behold our better promise, our better treasure, who is God himself. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says that God rewards those who diligently seek him. So if we are seeking God, then he is the one that we're finding. And when we find him, we realize that he ultimately is the better treasure. He is the reward that we get. He becomes our treasure. But the better news is that we don't have to just wait until we make it to this new kingdom to get this treasure of being with God. We all know the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to have this unity and this relationship and this closeness with God. What we have to look forward to in heaven, we can have right now on earth. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus himself came down from heaven to live with us. He brought heaven to earth. That is why we can say on earth as it is in heaven, because Jesus himself came from heaven to earth. So the treasure that we are looking to, he came down, and now we get to treasure him here and now. And so better than any physical promise from God, Jesus becomes our greatest treasure. That's my first point. Jesus is our greatest treasure. Like I said in Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith that we read about, they didn't get the fullness of the promise because God had something better. He was sending Jesus. They were all looking forward to this Savior who had not come yet, yet had this promise and had this faith that one day he would come. And the good news is that he did come. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it tells us not to love money, which is so often seen as a treasure in our world. But this verse, it says to not love money and to be satisfied with what we have. But why? And it goes on to say, because God tells us that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. So we move our eyes off of treasuring money into treasuring Jesus, knowing that he is the better promise. He is the greatest treasure. And so we might know that we're supposed to treasure Jesus, but how do we practically do that in our everyday lives? I mean, we found the answer to that in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." So in order to keep Jesus as our treasure, there are two things that we need to throw off: sin and everything that hinders us. And so sin, the first one, right? That's easy. We know what sin is. We know when we're not supposed to sin, and we know when we do sin, and we feel the remorse, we feel the guilt, we ask for forgiveness, we repent, we turn away from our sin. And we, as humans, as fallen creatures, will never stop sinning completely, but what we can do is ask the Holy Spirit to help us, ask the Holy Spirit to live through us, ask him to be our helper, that we would walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And he loves to help us. That's his job. That's one of his names. Jesus said that he is sending us the helper, who is the Holy Spirit. The helper delights to help us. So we don't have to be afraid to ask him for help. It's what he's here for. So the first thing that we throw off is sin that so easily entangles us. And the second thing that we throw off is everything else that hinders us. And that's like very broad. Sin is more easily pinpointed, more easily to understand and figure out what to throw off. But everything that hinders us, that is anything that is causing us to not treasure Jesus. Anything that we are placing above Jesus and that we are treasuring more of our hearts to that thing is a hindrance. And the tricky part about that is that these are not all bad things. They can actually be very good things that become hindrances when we treasure them more than we're treasuring Jesus. An example of this would be a family, or a spouse, or a job, or kids, or friendships. All of those things are good gifts from God, but when they are not in their proper place, they become hindrances. I heard a pastor say one time that a good gift makes a terrible God. A good gift makes a terrible God. So we have these good gifts, but the minute that we put them above Jesus and we treasure them more than we're treasuring Jesus, it becomes a terrible God. It becomes a hindrance. And he tells us to throw off the sin that so easily entangles us and everything that hinders us. And so you might be able to think right now of a few things that you realize that are hindering you, a few things that you realize that you're putting above God, that you're treasuring more than you're treasuring Jesus. But you also may need to take some time, and when you leave from here, and sit with the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what it is in my heart that I am treasuring more than I'm treasuring Jesus. And again, ask him to help you to throw those things off because he desires and delights to help us. So we throw off our sin and we throw off everything that hinders us. But more important than what we're throwing off is that this verse also tells us to fix our eyes and keep them fixed on one thing or one person, who is Jesus. Because he is the pioneer and he is the perfecter of our faith. Another version of that scripture says that he is the author and he is the finisher of that faith. Our faith started with him and it ends with him. So no matter how hard it is to throw off those things, no matter how hard it is to keep running this race of endurance, we can rest knowing that he is the one that started this work in us and he is the one that will bring it to completion. He is the one that is helping us, and we can go to him knowing that he is there for us. We are going to have to let go of some of the things that we treasure, but we can trust that he truly is the better treasure. And I love that it says to keep our eyes fixed on him, not just one eye. We have to be fully devoted, put our full attention, our full affection on Jesus. We are not half in and half out. We put our eyes on him, both eyes. And I also love because the word our, it points to community. We are not running this race alone. God has called us to one another. That's why we are part of a body of Christ. That's why the church is made up of people and it is not buildings. We are called to each other to help each other keep our eyes on Jesus and to help and remind each other and to speak truth into each other when we forget who our true treasure is. He is our greatest treasure, and when we fix our eyes on him, we're able to see that. And then we want to throw off the sin. We want to throw off those hindrances because he truly is better. But sometimes it does hurt when you have to let go of things that are so dear to you, that you treasure so much. But we realize, again, that he truly is better. But just because you're treasuring Jesus doesn't mean that it's not going to hurt. Suffering still comes when Jesus is our treasure. In Hebrews 12, later on in that passage, it tells us that when, not if, but when we are suffering, we receive it as discipline, knowing that fathers discipline their children because of his love. So it is because of his love that we experience suffering. Jesus even tells us in John 16:33 that in this world you will have trouble. So suffering will come. But he goes on to say, take heart because he has overcome the world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 also says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but we are not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So every single person is going to experience suffering at some point in time. If you are not currently suffering, you probably have in the past. If you have never suffered, it is coming at some point. We are all jars of clay. Jars of clay crack and they break. We experience suffering, we experience pain, but the beautiful thing about this verse is that our own suffering causes us to remember Jesus's painful death. And yet in that same instance, we remember that he has overcome the world. So in our suffering, we're reminded not just of his death, but also of his life, because he did not stay in the grave and he is alive today. And so even though, yes, we are clay jars, but he is still the treasure that we have living on the inside of us. Therefore, we can endure suffering, keeping our eyes on Jesus, knowing that he is our reward and that he is our greatest treasure. My second point is that not only is Jesus our treasure, but we are treasured by him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says that we love because he first loved us. We can only treasure Jesus because he first treasured us. We can only love him to the extent that we realize and recognize that we are loved by him. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Again, it goes on to say, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Which just sounds like such an ironic statement, because the cross was not a joyous occasion. So what is this joy that's set before him? It's definitely not going to the cross. Before going to the cross, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, weeping, crying, so stressed to the point of sweating blood, asking the Father if he could pass the cup of his wrath. Yet it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy that was set before him was us. The reason that we call Good Friday good is not because the cross is good, but because of by Jesus' death on the cross, our sin is taken from us, and we are no longer separated from God, and he makes us good. We become good, and we can enter into his kingdom and be a part of his family. That is the joy that he was looking forward to. It was the joy of having us, because he treasured us long before we treasured him. Romans 5 verse 8 says that God showed his love in this way. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we wanted anything to do with him, he loved us. He treasured us. He chose us. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6 says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. And it goes on to say that the Lord didn't choose them because they were good and better than everybody else. It says, in fact, you weren't, but God simply chose you because he loves you. In Deuteronomy 26, verse 18, it says, the Lord declared this day that you are his people, his treasured possession, as he promised, and that you are to keep all of his commands. This is said to the Israelites as they're wandering through the desert, making tons and tons and tons of mistakes. And it is said to us today in Christ. But what I love about this verse, Deuteronomy 26, 18, it says that you are his people, his treasured possessions, as he promised, and that you are to keep all of his commands. The order of this is so important. It says that we're treasured first, and then we're told to keep his commands. Not we're treasured if we keep his commands. Not if you keep my commands and then I'll treasure you. You are already treasured, and because you are treasured, now keep my commands. We are not loved because we obey, but we obey because we are loved. We respond to his love with obedience. And again, this is not just for the Israelites in the Old Testament. It's for us as well. In 1 Peter, Peter is writing to the church that's been scattered across different regions. These are the people who believe in Jesus. This is for us. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It says that we are God's special possession. We are treasured by him. And that verse ends with that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So that brings me to point number three, that we are called to share this great treasure with others. We are chosen and we are treasured for a relationship with the Lord, yes, but also to tell the world about the greatest treasure that ever existed. To tell people who don't know about Jesus that he truly is the greatest treasure. To tell people who maybe do know about Jesus, maybe they've been to church before, maybe they've seen something on TV, maybe they've read a Bible, maybe they have all the intellectual knowledge, yet don't truly have him as their treasure. We are called to declare what he has done. We are called to go and tell the world how great of a treasure that Jesus is. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So we want to be a people that openly profess his name to others. And as a result of openly professing his name to others, we want to do good and we want to share with them. So we tell them about Jesus and then we love them like Jesus does. He wants others to have him as their treasure, and he has chosen to use us to help that happen. We are called to show the world around us who our treasure is and who we belong to. So he doesn't just call us to throw off those sins and throw off those hindrances for no reason. We are called to live a holy and a blameless life so that we can look different than the world around us. Romans 12, verse 2 tells us to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That happens through reading the word, through being in scripture. We cannot be transformed. We cannot be different if we are not treasuring Jesus. When they see us treasuring Jesus, they will see who we belong to, and they will desire to treasure him too, so they can also belong to him. And this is what God desires, because again, God already treasures them. The same way that he loved us in our sin, he also loves them in their sin right now. And he has called us to do the same, to love people, to tell them about Jesus, to tell them that he is the greater treasure, that he is better than anything this world tries to offer us. We are called to open our mouths and to profess his name, to declare what he has done for us. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, it says, "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" And I'll add to that, how can they treasure him without knowing that he is the greatest treasure? Romans 10, verse 15 says, "And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And you may ask, okay, so who sent? And I think we have a tendency to think, oh, it's the pastor, it's the evangelist, it's the prophet, it's the missionary. Those are the ones who are sent. But actually, we're all sent. The verse says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Every single one of us has the ability to bring good news. We call a friend and say, hey, I have good news for you. We come home and tell our parents, I have some good news. We all know how to share good news, and we have the best news, which is the gospel. And we are called to share this good news with the world around us so that people will be able to hear and therefore believe. Romans 10, 17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They need to hear the word of God and therefore have faith and believe and be saved. And if you don't believe it from me, even Jesus leaves us all with this great commission. In Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And if you look at the original language, it doesn't mean go as in like, okay, go and then do it. But it says, as you are going, make disciples in your everyday life, whatever you are doing, as you are working, as you are at school, as you are with friends, as you are with family, as you are living your daily life, make disciples. And a disciple is a person who is following Jesus. But how can someone become a disciple and follow Jesus if they haven't heard of him yet? We have to share the gospel and then make disciples. They need to hear the gospel first and then believe it, and then they will begin to follow. But it starts with us to go and to tell. In Mark 16, verse 15, this is again from Jesus. He says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So he is sending you and he is sending me to go and tell people of the greatest treasure ever, who is himself. And I'm going to leave you with 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. He is a promise keeper, and he is the promise. Thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because brother and sister, you need the word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was the message titled, Jesus, Our Greatest Treasure, by E. Lisha Bronner. This message is number 6644. That's 6644. To listen to thousands of free messages, or to send this message number 6644 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you, and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because brother, you need the word.